So we are blending in the sound right away with the start of the interview, and it's the 6th of July. It's the second day of Digility. This interview is a little different than the others because we are only in talking terms since a couple of minutes. But before I ask any more or less intelligent questions, I would like just to have your presentation, please.
So my presentation was about the future of mixed realities. My name is Aaron Aksu. I'm with Emblematic Group based out of Los Angeles. The main premise of my talk was that different technologies will come together to create the future of the mixed reality, augmented reality, digital reality industries. And it's going to be a melting pot of technologies that create the future of human society pretty much in regards to content consumption and content production. So we can't look at it as a single singular technology called VR. We have to look at it more holistically and think about it as an amalgamation of technologies and backgrounds coming together.
What do you mean by backgrounds?
Our company is pretty much formed of journalists, documentary filmmakers, historians, media specialists, Hollywood studio executives, game development experts, designers, graphic designers, as well as environment designers and engineers, both on the software and hardware side. We think that this diversity gives us an edge over other companies that might be specifically game focused or that might be specifically journalism focused, because they're not looking at what this technology could bring or what might be possible in different industries to bring those elements together. So that's what I mean.
But this is a difficult task because you're reimagining the world, but you're documenting the world as well. Yeah. Isn't there a cleavage between both terms?
Documenting the world and recreating the world, I would say yes and also no. I think we are journalists in our hearts and we're storytellers at the end of the day. So all of these industries and backgrounds coming together, we're all trying to improve the way in which we convey messages and tell stories. So I would say not really. At the end of the day, all we're trying to do is tell better stories using these different technologies.
I think this first story you developed was the story from Xeria, which you presented at the World Economic Forum. Yeah. It had a big impact. Was this an impact on political terms as well?
So that project kickstarted a whole array of empathy-based virtual reality experiences. Not only was it the first VR experience that was taken to political thought leaders that were going to make decisions about what was going to happen in Syria, but it also was pretty much the flag bearer of an array of different empathy-based experiences. We know that Clouds Over Sidra, that was developed after Project Syria, then raised $2.3 billion. And the virtual reality that came after was proven to raise twice the amount of money and funding for nonprofits and foundations around the world. So that project allowed a group of documentary filmmakers, journalists, nonprofits, and foundations to explore a whole new technology to help people understand what they were fighting for better. So that's why I particularly mentioned that one. And also because I'm Turkish and it's close to my heart.
And because we find a new common denominator between the truth and our own respect to the life of the others?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes just a short answer can say more than a long one, I think. So let's go beyond that. You're famous for all the new technology developments which you are pushing through. Maybe you should mention one or two of those before we go further on.
So we're currently working on multiplayer solutions that we think are very relevant for virtual reality and this new medium. We're also working on a lot of different AI solutions. As I mentioned in the presentation, we've currently developed an AI internally that uses voice recognition software as well as a couple of different APIs that creates a bot that understands where you stand, whether you're looking at it or not, or at him or not, at her or not at this point, what you're saying, how large you're saying it, where you're standing, and why you're standing where you're standing. So taking all these factors in will react in a smart way to what you're doing. So just AI, multiplayer, as well as videogrammetry, photogrammetry, these types of technologies are interesting to us, and they're things that we keep experimenting with to push the boundaries of this medium.
You mentioned that there could be a situation where we have human-like interfaces.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've already, so the AI that we've built right now is a human-like interface. I was fortunate enough to do the voiceover to the bot. And once you're inside the experience, it very much reminds you of, you forget that you're not speaking to a human being. one or two questions after. So that human-like bot and that human-like UI pretty much becomes a reality, and you forget and get lost in that environment very easily.
But because of that, there's an even more tricky question. Yeah. Look at Pygmalion. The most advanced products of Pygmalion were those where the people didn't find any more interest in the person because they were as real as themselves. Isn't there a boundary?
To how real you can get with human beings? I don't think there should be a boundary. I think that's a subjective, I guess that's a subjective judgment, you know. I think some people might find even more real than human being bots more pleasurable than not, than being in real life. So I think those are just conditions that we've set as society where, you know, bots or AI shouldn't be as real as human beings, or shouldn't be more real than human beings. I think we're going to live in a future very soon where AI in most cases, or even certain cases, might be more real than human beings, and that might be okay.
You work for international markets, so this might be a different answer for other countries, or is this for all the different countries the same answer?
Cultural factors are going to affect everyone, clearly, all the time. I mean, an AI that is more real than a human being might be seen differently in Turkey, where I grew up, versus in San Francisco, where AI already exists and people are already assigning tasks to these AI systems. I know of a couple of different companies that are using AI to pretty much get rid of the small time law transactions. They're helping pretty much, an AI is helping people get rid of their parking tickets and deal with small issues within civil law. And in those cases, it's more useful for them to use that AI, and it's better for them because they have access to it continuously. So, and it's seen much more differently than it is in a place like Turkey, where they might say that's going to take jobs away from lawyers, whereas in San Francisco, they say it's actually making us more efficient. Another example would be microtransactions, millisecond transactions in financial institutions. Currently, AI are making these small millisecond, even lower than millisecond transactions on a continuous basis where real people can't compete with them. So people in New York on Wall Street might think that that AI system is it's much better than people who are trying to compete with them in London that don't have access to the same AI but still operate in the same financial markets. So you're absolutely right. Culture and geographical locations will have different perspectives towards these AI or human-like intelligent units.
After all these successful answers to these difficult questions, I have an even more difficult one.
Please.
Imagine one question I haven't asked.
Okay.
You would have liked to be asked and give the answer to this question.
That's an interesting question. I guess, what type of a society would you like to live in would be an interesting question for me. I think I don't see the issue in having very smart AI. I would like to live in a future society where we are one with super intelligent machinery, where not only can we access Google, but we are Google. We also have gotten beyond the geographical or cultural or pretty much these limited views and walls that we've put in between us as human beings. I think VR, AI, these types of technologies have the potential to bring us closer together, and that's the type of world that I'd like to live in the future, that's enhanced by these technologies, where we're not separated by this tech, but we're brought together and we remember who we are and what we are as floating dust particles in the middle of space, pretty much, that are all the same thing.
Thank you very much for this insight, et je vous remercie, monsieur.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you.